Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power to Change Blog Talk Radio, where I am your host, Dr. Leah, Dr. Happy. What else do they call me? A whole bunch of stuff. Just call me a child of God. Amen, amen. I am happy that you are here and on this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful evening we call Monday night. Praise God. This is a Monday that we've never seen before and we'll never see again. So I pray you made the most of it. And if you haven't, you still got time. Amen. So we can do that right now and today. And so, again, this is Leah Killings from Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate and empower all to the glory of God. And I'm so excited about the lesson on tonight. And it's so funny because time kind of slipped up on me. I was trying to clean up my room and I thought, oh my goodness, it's time. Amen. But I love that God gives me an on-time word. And I was able to even share some of this word with some of my audience, my radio listener audience. And so I'm so excited about getting into the lesson. But before we go in, I need to take a chill pill and calm down because I am excited, as you can already tell. But I want to make sure that I always acknowledge those that are new to the broadcast. So if this is your very first time tuning in, welcome, welcome, welcome. As I said so many times, my name is Leah Killings. And praise God, I'm excited that you decided to tune in, whether you logged in by dialing in or logged in on your computer. I'm happy that you're here. And so even if this is your very first time listening in tonight, it could be your very first time listening in 2 weeks from now, 2 years from now, but I still welcome you and thank you for tuning in. We are on every Monday night at the same time, 9 p.m. That's Eastern Standard Time on my time zone. But whatever time zone you're on, make sure that you remember, praise God, because when I send my messages out, sometimes I forget that everybody's not on Eastern. But make sure that you tune in on whatever time zone you are that is equal to the 9 p.m. Eastern time zone. So welcome. For those of you, praise God, we're moving into our 8th year. I can say for those of you that have been with me for the 8 years, can you believe that 8 years is a long time? Amen. But it doesn't seem like it's been that long. But you've been here with me, whether you've been here with 2 months, 2 weeks, 2 years, 5 years, the whole 8 years. I'm so excited that you tune in each week. And not only do you tune in, but you conversate with me through the week. You keep me motivated. You pray for me. You tell me that you pray for me. You send me comments. Sometimes you even send me comments during the podcast when I get a little stuck. And so I thank you for that. And so I appreciate everything that you do for me to keep me focused and motivated to do what God has called me to do. Now, the people that I have to give the greatest praise, and that is to Tammy and Jesse Store, because without them and the Omega Ministry Group, I wouldn't have known the thing was for me. And so I'm grateful that they continue to support me, that they continue to encourage me and lift me up and build me up to do what God has called me to do in this vein. And not only do they just do it with their lips, they do it with service. And so they serve and on them by themselves. They do morning worship every morning. And they just support so many people in the ministry to do what they've been called to do. And so I'm just a firm believer that if God has given you an assignment, you got to be about it, because you never know how you're affecting people in ministry. And because of their blessing for me to push me and push me out, I'm able to bless you. And because you take the message and you bless other people, they're being blessed. So all of us are having this ripple effect of being obedient to the things of God so that other people can grow and they can do the things that God has called us to do. Nothing is insignificant. Everything goes to the glory of God. So we got to remember that sharing a smile, sharing a word of encouragement, you just don't know how far it goes. And so you got to be obedient when God tells you to smile at someone, to speak, to say an encouraging word, because it matters. It really does. And then our biggest go to God, because without him, none of this would be possible. And so I'm always grateful for allowing him to let me find my favorite song, When Jesus Says Yes, Nobody Can Say No, and then put that little calypso beat to it. Amen. It just gets me in the mood. And sometimes I get to talking too fast because I get too excited just by hearing the song. And then I acknowledge and thank each of you for tuning in and dialing in. And then we go to God in prayer. Praise God. By the time I get to the message, I'm on fire already. Amen. But let's stop and give God a word of prayer. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. Thank you for your wonderful blessing. We thank you, Father, for allowing you just to be God all by yourself, that you don't need no help. And praise God, you don't need our help, but we need your help. And so we thank you for the help that you give so richly and so sometimes even undeservingly, but you give it to us anyway. And so, Father, we stop to say thank you. We thank you for allowing us to be able to breathe and have our being, to be able to move and have our being, to be able to see, be able to walk, be able to step, to be able to have air conditioning, be able to have the sunshine. Lord, I even thank you for the thunderstorms with the rain. I love it, love it, love it. Sorry, Father, everything that you created was for our purpose and our benefit. And we have to say thank you. We thank you for allowing us to acknowledge that you are the vine and we're just branches. And as long as we stay connected to you, we will be relevant, because you will allow us to produce fruit that will remain. And remain in the earth means that whatever assignments that we put our hands to, because you have anointed it and touched it, Oh, it is amazing and endless the stuff that can happen because with you, we can't fail. And so we just thank you for allowing us to know you, to know that if we depend on you and your word, that we can have the desires of our heart because we will ask things that are according to your plan and purpose. So, Father, I'm asking that you make me invisible so that you can be visible through my vocal cords, through my mind, through my heart, through the passion that I have to share your word. And then, Father, allow me to be with you. I used to say hide behind you, but Father, I want to be with you because if I'm hiding, then I can't see. And I want to see everything that you have for me. And I believe the listening audience wants to see everything that you have for them. So allow us to be able to stand with you. Allow us to be in right standing so that we can. So Father, if there's anything in our hearts and minds that's not like you, help us to remove it. And we thank you that you will because you said you would. So we thank you for forgiving us so that this word will go forth and that it will bring back 100-fold. For all of us, 1,000, even 10,000, a million times, Father, over what we can already think about. Father, just go above that, but we can more than we can think and imagine. So we just love you, we honor, we adore you, and we thank you for blessing this message and putting your anointing on it so that it will stain our hearts and so we'll be obedient to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. I can get caught up when I talk to the Lord, as you can see. But praise God, I'm so glad that you tuned in on this wonderful Monday night, and we're about to get into our lesson. So again, for those of you that don't know, the focus for our broadcast is to educate, to empower, and then to encourage. And so we do that in a type of order, and I said it differently, but praise God, we still do the three. We encourage you by having an encouraging word, and then we try to make sure that you are focused. It may not be a brand new topic or a brand new title, but it's something to make you think about it. It makes you want to study more or do more so that you can learn more about it. So we want you to be educated. And then once you make the necessary changes, you won't keep it for yourself. You'll be empowered to share it with someone else so that they can make the necessary change. I know that I don't always have people that have given their hearts and their lives to Christ on the line or even know who he is. But I try to make sure that the message is sound enough so that anybody can take the word and allow God to manifest whatever he needs to manifest in you. So eventually you'll want to know him. Amen. So going on with the lesson, over the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about several topics. And last week, we kind of talked about how we can have favor internally as well as externally. And I like how sometimes we can get so caught up believing that, you know, you only get blessings when you're giving your life to Christ. And that's not necessarily so. Simply because God loves us all. Whether we know him or whether we not, we still are breathing, we still are moving, still have our being. Praise God, those are blessings. And sometimes we can get so caught up and think that we possess certain things from God just because we've given our life to him. It is the point of us having breath in our bodies and being able to move so that someday in this walk we can meet him. And so it is our responsibility, those of us that know him, to be patient and to be kind with those that don't so that they will have an opportunity to get to know him. So I try to make sure that whatever the topic that I talk about on this particular line or this particular hour of power, that God gives me an ability to break it down so that all of us, those that eat meat, those that are on bread, those that are on milk, those that are slurping water even, praise God, can get something from the word. Amen. And so like I said last week, we talked about internal and external favor, that we all have God's favor. And so that moved me into another topic because over the past couple of weeks, we talked about Independence Day and, you know, how so many people represent and how they recognize it for certain things. And then we talked about how some people had it misconstrued of what Juneteenth was. And it was just a lot of stuff. But in the midst of all of the chaos that they were reporting on the news, one story stuck out to me and stuck out to me pretty loud. And it stuck out to me because I have been going through a few little things myself. And I saw the topic and I thought, wow. And so the topic of the article, and I can't remember what magazine she's on, but she's on the cover of a magazine. And so I had my daughter write her name out very slowly so that I could think her name is pronounced Naomi Osaka. I think that's how you say her name. But she's a famous tennis player. She's a young girl, but she's won quite a bit, and she's been in the public eye for a while. And so because she decided this particular day not to do an interview because she was just over it, the label attached to her that she had mental illness and that she was having challenges, and it was to much for. But nevertheless, because she didn't meet to the expectations that the reporters and the people that wanted to interview her had, they removed her from her tournament. And so all these stories whirled around about mental illness and, you know, she's too young. I mean, just all these things. And so when they posted this article the other day, which was interesting to me that I named the broadcast after this title, I changed the words a little bit just because I wanted to make sure that we have some clarification. And so we all know, well, those of us that know the word know that our words have meaning, our words have power, and that we give life to the things that we say. So we have to be mindful on the things that we say, because sometimes we say things that are incorrectly and we give life to them. And so the topic of the article was, it's okay to not be okay. And so I want to say that slow because I want you to hear every word. It's okay to not be okay. And I thought, oh, wow, that's a cool topic. And then the Holy Spirit corrected me. And it's like, no, be is a state of being. So we can't say be because it is not okay to be, not to be okay. What it should have said was it's okay to not feel okay. And I made that change because God gave us all emotions. He gave us all feelings. He gave us our mind, our will, and our emotions for a reason, because it makes up our soul. And so he knew that our emotions, our feelings were something that we were going to need. It was just a matter of how to govern them and how to manage them. And so that's why it's important for us to understand, especially as we get older, to learn how to manage our emotions. And that's why it's so important that we don't allow the negative emotions to take residence in our lives, because they cause consequences. And sometimes those consequences can be life consequences because we haven't learned how to control our emotions. And so when I say emotions, you know, those of you that know me know that I love doing definitions. And so before I break down a word, I always look to find out what the definition is first. And so I want to kind of go back to the first word that I use. It's okay to feel. And I want to talk about feel. Feel basically is, it has two different meanings, because those of you that know that I'm a teacher, I love to give both. And so it has a verb, which means it's an action word. And then you have a noun, which is a person, place, or thing. So it's stable. So basically for the action word for feel is to be aware of a person or object through touching or being touched. That's how we feel. Those are the five senses that we have: touch, taste, what is it? Sight, sound, taste, touch, and there's one more. But basically, you get there's five of them. And then there's a noun, amen. And then it says an act of touching something to examine. And so I love how they do the summary of the definition. And it says feelings was originally used to describe the physical sensation of touch through either the experience or perception. The word is also used to describe other experiences, such as a feeling of warmth, a feeling of sensitivity. And so I love the way that we talk about feel, because even I was talking about the song that I just played, what Jesus said yesterday, nobody, I feel that song to my core because I love the words that go to that song. So I can be in tune to that song because I know that when Jesus says yes, nobody can, so can say no. No, I'm not worried about a thing because I know who's guiding me. Those are all parts of those mean something to me. So I feel the emotions that were put together when they sung together. But now when we talk about emotions, feelings are part of emotions. So you can have different types of feelings, and they all are still flow within our senses. But for the most part, they are a biological-based psychology state that is brought on by a neurological changes that go on in the body. And they can be various with our thoughts, the feelings, and then how it affects our behaviors to responses. And we can deal with them either pleasurable or displeasurable. And so the definition that they had was a natural instinctive state of mind derived from one's circumstances, mood, or relationship with others. And this is more of a noun, so this is more of a state of being. So I think this is what she was basically trying to say, Miss Okasaka, I think that's how you say her name, when she was talking about it's okay to not feel okay.
Well, she didn't say face. She said B. But I'm going to say feel, because those temporary, they're temporary. And sometimes we get caught up with words, but I believe that's what she meant. And she was saying that in the respect of that, you know, at that moment, she just didn't feel like being bothered. And so I love that they did an article on her, and I did a little bit more research, and how for her to be in a wrong state of mind, as they claimed, all these articles, how when she did her her tournament, I think it was last year, where she had all the different people that had been slain by gunmen or been wrongly killed, she wore their names on her mask during her tournament. And so she was expressing her feelings. She was expressing how her emotional state was to really take note, to make these lives significant so that people would see and people would know what she was expressing. And so it gave people almost like what I try to do on my broadcast, give people an opportunity to be encouraged that, yes, somebody is thinking about your loved one, that somebody wants people to go out and encourage and educate themselves. Find out who are these people. If you don't know who these people are, most people go to Google and they figure out who they are. So she's encouraged, she's also encouraging the family and other people, the loved ones that lost these people, but she's encouraging them also to educate themselves about who these people are. And then because she was making a stance on a big market or a big platform that she had, she was empowering people to use their power in whatever platform that they are to share whatever it was that she was supporting by having whichever name that she was representing. And so for someone to be mentally disabled, as they had been advertising, I felt that kind of strange. And so I wanted to go a little bit deeper. Why would they make a point of making that the article topic for this particular magazine? And so when I thought about it and read about it, I realized how often it is those of us that claim that we know God, claim that we have this connection to our ultimate source and our being, why is that we too are sometimes shunned for not being okay? Why do we make each other feel bad? You know God. You know the things that God, you could bring heaven and bring rain just by praying. And why are you depressed? Why do you feel bad? Why do you have these emotions? And sometimes because God gave us these emotions, sometimes these emotions will be expressed. The key is not to get stuck and to be caught up in these emotions and these feelings because, like I said, many times negative emotions, negative feelings, negative things that we do with all of our senses can lead to consequences that we're not prepared for. But since we're in the vein of emotions, I wanted to make sure that I gave you some scripture reference to make sure that you kind of understood that not only do we feel this way, but God knew that we would feel this way. And I love my Apostle Paul because he makes it simple. So I'm going to read a couple scriptures from the NIV version, and then I want to read the message because I love the message because it gives it a little better breakdown. But Romans 7, 15 to 20 says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not. But what I hate to do, I do. And if I do what I don't want to do, I agree that the law is good. It is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know what good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, I do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. Now, there's a lot of doing what to do it and how to do it and how to get to amen. It's a lot. But basically what he's saying is that there's a lot of things that I want to do that I know that is right to do, but I find myself doing the opposite. So there are many times that we want to be nice to people, but there's a lot of times it's like, you know, just ain't in the mood. And there's a lot of times that I need to know I need to serve and help people and feed those that are less fortunate and give to the poor. And I'm supposed to call my granny and supposed to do these and do. But sometimes I just can't get into it. I just don't have the mindset to do it. Now, is it always sin why I don't do it? Could it just be I just don't feel good? Why do we sometimes punish ourselves for feeling things that God intended for us to feel. Our bodies give us signals to let us know that when we need to take a break, you need to take a break. And so just because the phone rings doesn't necessarily mean you have to answer it. If God has told you to take a break, take a break. But what Paul's mistake was, what he said in the letter, is that, you know, the things that I want to do, I can't do. And the things that I shouldn't do, I do. So the times that I should be resting and I get up to take my children downtown or take them places when I know I don't feel good, I'm going to have to deal with the consequences of that because I did something that I know that my body did wasn't ready for me to do. And so when Sister Osaka says, you know, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to be tired. It's okay not to want to go. It's okay not to want to sing today. It's okay not to want to go. Okay not to want to go and feed the homeless today. There are reasons why you do not, mind you, you still want to make sure that you're obedient and you're doing the things that God has called you to do. But you can't beat yourself up and make yourself do things that you are just really at the moment not qualified to do. I want to read this other version because I think it gives it a little bit more oomph. And so, like I said, I read from 15 to 20, and so I'm going to do in verse 7 of Romans. I'm going to read the same scriptures, 7 to 20, and maybe a few others, but praise God. The Message Bible was kind of broken off differently. But I think I'm going to start at 8 because I like how it starts this paragraph. It says, don't you remember how it was? I do perfectly well. The law code started out as an excellent piece of work. What happened, though? It was that sin found a way to pervert the commands into a temptation, making a piece of forbidden fruit out of it. The law code, instead of being used to guide me, was used to seduce me. Without all the paraphernalia of the law code, sin looked pretty dull and lifeless, and I went along without paying much attention to it. But once sin got its hand on the law code and decked itself out in all that finery, I was fooled and fell for it. The very command that was supposed to guide me into life was cleverly used to trip me up, to throw me headlong. So sin was plenty alive, and I was stone dead. But the law code itself is God, good and common sense, each command, sane and holy counsel. So what is that saying? I love how that was broken down. Because in the beginning, sometimes, me and my cousin in Vegas, and I hope he's listening. Hey, cousin. And we were talking about how we were passing by so many people that were hooked on drugs. And so I was explaining or sharing with him. I said, I don't get it. How we know if you participate in these activities, what they'll lead to, but we do it anyway. Why do we do that? And it was because, like the scripture says, it looks enticing. In the beginning, it's like, no, I'm not going. Or you have the deception that you know is not going to hook me. I can try it, but it's not going to bother me. And a couple times it might not, because the enemy knows how to trip us up, because he's not going to do it immediately. It's almost like we see a hot soap. Yeah, it's fun. Touch it. No, we're always warned. Don't touch the stove because it's hot. But for whatever reason, we are enticed some kind of way just to see. Maybe it won't hurt a little bit, just a little bit. Maybe not a lot. And then your skin is gone. Amen. Why do we do that? And so not only do we suffer that way, but someone that was famous in the word had the same problems, because we all, God knew that we would have these problems. Well, praise God, we have a Savior. We have someone that will rescue us from these torments that sin tries to ensnagle and tear us in with, so that we can be hurt. Because the devil's goal is simply to kill, to steal. And so if we're not paying attention, we will fall to his devices. Now, what was interesting also that happened to me this weekend was my girlfriend sent me an email. And she always sends me all these cool things. And sometimes I remember and sometimes I don't. And so this particular time she reminded me. I was like, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. And so I was able to tune in. And it was called A New Anointing. And so I listened for a while, and it was kind of, you know, different for me because, praise God, I've kind of fallen out of, I'm almost like where Osaka is when it comes to church to some degree, because I've been so disappointed with all the code, if you go back to the last scripture, you have all these codes, these law codes that people are not really living by, but then they're steady doing the opposite and judging. And so I kind of fell out of the loop of a lot of church jargon. I guess I'll just call it that. So when I watched, I kind of was in awe a little because I kind of stood back a little bit because I always wait for the word. So I have another girlfriend that teases me all the time. Lee, you're supposed to get into the praise. I'm like, I know how to get my praise out. I want to hear the word. And so all of it goes together, absolutely. But I want to hear the meat that you're putting on the table, and then I can get into the rest of it. But nevertheless, it was talking about a new anointing. And so it talked about that sometimes we have to go through pain to find our purpose. And I thought that that was an interesting way to say that we have to go through pain because pain is part of the process. Sometimes we already know that God knows have a purpose. And because of that purpose, there's a process because sometimes we don't always want to hear no. And so sometimes we have to figure out why did he say no? Well, you know, or what did he mean? If I can't have it, then what am I supposed to have? And so we go through these emotions and we can get tangled up and we can get caught up because, praise God, Satan is watching and waiting to trip you up so that you can be distracted so far that you're so far out of the garden that, praise God, you don't even know what the garden looks like, because when you look back, you can't see it. And it reminded me when we were in Vegas, or not necessarily Vegas, we was on our way to Grand Canyon. Who knew it was in Arizona? Amen. I won't tell nobody since I'm a geography teacher. But nevertheless, we're driving and driving and driving, and you see nothing but, and you don't even see green. So you just see, you know, dirt and rocks and just for miles and miles, you don't see no life, nothing. And so that's how Satan will lead you into the wander of wilderness of nothing if you're not careful, because he starts with, okay, she's depressed. She doesn't she's not really into, I'm just using Miss Osaka. She's not really into tennis, you know, and she's distracted. We'll just keep her out. And the more news media coverage we give her to make her feel bad about herself, she'll eventually phase herself out. Now, unfortunately, we don't believe that that's what they're doing, but in essence, that's what they're doing because the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. So if he beats her up enough, she's not even going to want to come back to tennis, and then a new star will be born so that they can create a new medium. Amen. You got to find out how the enemy is pulling you along and teasing you and making you believe that, you know, you're not qualified, you don't deserve to be here, you know, everybody's more educated than you, you don't even have a degree, you know, you can't talk right, you stutter. You know, you can't read well, you know, all kinds of stuff to make you doubt whatever it is that God has for you. And sometimes those no's and sometimes those delays are part of the purpose to make you push, to make you press, to make you do what is necessary so that you can be at the table with the necessary people where you're trying to be. Amen. So back to the lesson, it was talking about how suffering can make you renew your mindset. And so it is so important that we understand when there's something that we can't do, that something that has been said no, to find a purpose and why it was no. Was it, so you may not have been qualified. So how do you qualify yourself so that the next time that door opens, you'll be ready? I love the fact that God gives us the things that we need. And when we need them, they're usually there for us. But sometimes if we allow our mind and our emotions to get so caught up and get so far away from us, and that we become, it's okay to be unhappy. It's not okay to be. It's okay to feel, but it's not okay to be. Be is a state of mind. No, you don't want to be nothing except be happy, be excited in the things of God, be a new creation in him so that you can renew whatever it is that you need to renew so that you can do what God has called you to do. One of the scripture references that they gave that I liked that I wanted to point out was Romans chapter 8, verse 18. And it says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So you can have some suffering in your nose, you can have some suffering in your delay, but it doesn't necessarily mean no, that there is not a reward that is waiting for you that will soon be revealed in you. You just got to put forth the time. And so in the midst of whatever you're going through, find those places that makes it pleasing to God. Okay, Lord, I'm not qualified at this moment, but I'm going to see what I can do. I remember when I was told that I couldn't be a minister, when I know and God had really been pressing on my heart to, you know, to be a minister. And so, of course, you know, the church that I was belonging to at the time, how do I say this and be nice? I'll just say, I don't think they really cared too much about what I thought and where I thought I was going. Because, praise God, it was evident they wanted my service and they wanted me to do the work, but they just didn't want to give me the prize. But nevertheless, I pushed. And so when I found out why, and of course it wasn't because they told me why, I had to go to God and find out why. And so the requirements that they had was that I go back to school and that I only needed 15 hours of continued education. And so I thought, I'm not going to do just 15. I'm going to go ahead and get my master's degree. I already had a bachelor's. I'll just get a master's degree. And then that wasn't enough. And so then I got another one, and that wasn't enough. And then, praise God, then it was for what? So I could have been at that moment, because it still wasn't enough, and said, you know, it's okay to be okay, I guess, and just sit down and not do anything with it and allow that dead emotion to encase me into nothingness. And that's what many of us do. We stop in the no, you can't have it. And so God had to kick me and help me understand, okay, well, if you had those two, you could do whatever you want to do. What do you need to do? Maybe you didn't get the right degree in the area where I told you to go. You were so busy trying to meet the accomplishments for them, you didn't do what I told you to do. I want you to do this. And so when I did that, then amen, the door is open. But praise God for you. Same scenario. You may be spinning your wheels in an area that he's not called you for. That's not part of your purpose. That's not part of your plan. And so you can allow yourself and allow the emotions to get you caught up. You got to figure out how to renew your mind. That's, you know, Romans 12 and 1. And 2. You got to renew your mind, and you got to do it daily. If that means you have to put posters up or scriptures on your wall, I tell my daughter that often. They laugh at me because I do. I put words on my, if I have to get a marker and just write it on the wall, I'll write on the wall. Whatever I need to see before me to help me transition to where I need to be, I do it because I don't want to be in a low place and call that okay. No. It's okay that I may feel, kind of hit me there. I wasn't expecting that. So I got to figure out how do I shake this off of me and move forward. I might have to go get counseling. I may have to do a little bit more than putting words on the wall. I may have to do a little bit more than reading scriptures, you know, every day or listening. I may have to do something else. Whatever that else is, there will be a purpose. Whatever that else is that you're doing, so that you can make sure that you're where you're supposed to be and how you're supposed to be there. And so our suffering is not in vain. And that was the thing that I think that I love the most, was that our suffering is not in vain. And when our suffering, we understand that our suffering is not in vain, then we understand that it is necessary. It is necessary why we do what we do. Like I said, I love my listening audience. And one person, can you tell me that scripture again? So praise God. I'm going to do one better for you. We're going to read it because we all need to make sure that we're there, because this helps us even in our transformation of our emotions. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. When we say offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, that's your emotion, thought life, that's everything pleasing to God, holy and pleasing to God. This is true and proper worship. Praise God. If you don't know God, this is a part where you need to figure out who he is so that he can help you understand what true and proper worship is. It's one thing to listen to your gospel music in the morning, going to work or turning it on, you wake up in the morning. It's a whole other thing to truly worship without music, by yourself. to just sing out and yell out to him. Like I said, I was on this this conference this weekend, and it was cracking up because this guy was singing. He didn't have no music, and it didn't have no rhyme. The words didn't go together, but he was in it. And you could totally tell that he was so sincere in his worship. And you couldn't be mad because I'm like, amen, I'm going to do that too. I'm just going to put some words together and just sing, amen. That's true and proper worship. And then verse 2, it says, do not conform. And I think this is where we mess up. It says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So now when we conform to this pattern, like I said, the article was beautiful, but I had that problem with me. It is not okay to be unhappy. It is not okay to be okay. It is okay to feel not okay, but it is not okay to be. Be changes that whole narrative. Feel is a whole nother, because feelings, they change, and you can change them. Be is, that's a state of being. No, we don't want to be unhappy. Nobody wants to be unhappy. We don't want to feel unhappy either, but it's temporary, because we're going to have disappointments. We're going to have areas in our life that we're not pleased with, or we're not happy with. But praise God, we can make the necessary changes. But if I say I will always be fat, well, amen. Yeah, you're going to have what you say. I'm like, I don't like the way I feel in my clothes. That makes me want to do something different. But I said, I guess I'm going to always be this way. Then, amen, I just go up to the next side. I mean, that's not funny. But it is funny when you think about it, because that's what we do. Because we get conformed. We get performed to this pattern of this world. And before we know it, amen, we're doing a lot of stuff that we don't want to do. That's why the Bible says that we have to be transformed. We have to renew our mind. And again, that goes back to, how do you renew your mind? You have to do something different, or you will conform to the system that is already prepared for you to fail and not to go any further. Amen. And then I like the last part of the scripture. It says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will for you. He has purpose for us all. And there is purpose in our suffering. There is purpose in our pain. It helps you to get yourself up and get it together. Just don't get caught up in it and sit in it. Now, I always love steps, and I know that I'm running out of time. You know I'm never out of talk, but I am getting close to the hour. But I wanted to give you these steps because I thought that they were pretty cool. And they said that there are 10 major emotions. Now, we've talked about emotions before in the past, for those of you that have been with me for a while. But I want to make sure that we talk about these emotions. And because they change, it's okay to feel these 10 things, amen, at a time. But it's just sometimes, not stay in them. But it's one of my favorite words, so you know I had to make it number one. To be happy, to have happiness. I know when I first moved to Georgia, I had been collecting happy faces. And so some of my niece, my favorite niece that's listening, amen. Did I say favorite? Amen. My niece that's listening, amen. She listens every week, and she was the first one to call me Auntie Happy. Thank you, baby. But I love that, because it represented what I wanted to be. I wasn't quite happy at the time, but if I heard it enough, I knew that I would become that. And so when I moved to Georgia, and I was telling some of the people, you know, that most people call me happy or miss happy, whatever, and they were like, what you want to be happy for? Happy is temporary. You should want to be joy. And so, of course, you know, it kind of hurt my feelings, and I went home, and, you know, I love my definition, so I looked it up. And so when I looked up happy in the Bible, and when my scripture came up, because, you know, I'm blessed enough to have my name, my birth name is in the Bible. And so my birth name is in the Bible. So when I went to Genesis 30, y'all can write this down and read it in your own private time, but I'm going to read it for you anyway. But Genesis 30 and 13, and it says, and Leah said, oh, look, I'm at the wrong channel. I don't say Leah. Had to flip the page. I'm so sorry. Look, I had it highlighted in my Bible too. Go figure. But it says, and Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me happy. Do you know how I shouted in my room? Amen. And I was like, Lord, I thank you, because that ain't temporary. That's my name. My name means blessed. Blessed means happy. Amen. My mama was prophetic and didn't even know it. She knew what to call me. Amen. So praise God. Happy. It is an emotion. True enough. But if I had to be, I would be, amen, happy. It's okay to be happy. And it's okay not to be, praise God. And the next emotion is sadness. It's okay to be sad. There are times and there are situations in our lives that happen where we're sad. just don't get caught up and don't get lost in it, because grief and disappointment can allow you to look back too much and you can get caught up. I have a girlfriend that calls me salt, and she said, Leah, don't be looking back. Don't look back, because I had some challenges kind of looking away on a couple of topics that happened in my life a couple months ago. And she said, Leah, you can't look back. You'll turn your pillow salt. Look forward. You got to figure out what it is, what were you supposed to learn in that, what purpose did you get out of that, and keep it moving. So sadness can be for a period of time, but just don't make sure it becomes a being. Anger. We don't want to be always angry, but there are times that we can be angry. Even the Bible tells us that we can be angry, but sin not. You know, you got to learn how to control your emotions so they don't get the best of you, because anger can cause you to have long-term consequences. And so we want to make sure that we avoid being in any of these states too long unless they're in the things in the will of God. And I don't believe God wants you to be in the will of sadness or anger, but definitely happiness. But these are all emotions: happiness, sadness, anger. Another one is anticipation. Sometimes we get excited. Now, the Bible says that we should be anxious for nothing, but we're supposed to look to Him in all things. But there are times that, praise God, because we're human, we become excited. We anticipate. When I was in Vegas, I was anticipating winning the lottery. And it was so funny. I found myself praying over the machine. And I was like, Lord, I repent. And it reminded me of my uncle, bless his heart. And sometimes I probably shouldn't say this out loud, because he probably shouldn't have said it out loud. But it's like, how can you ask God to bless, to give you your rent, when you're not living the way that He wants you to live? And so it's kind of an oxymoron, but at the same time, because I love God and because I know that He blesses us, amen, even in the midst of sometimes our foolishness, amen, but we shouldn't be anxious for anything, amen. I'm going to leave that alone and keep moving, because I'm going to be out of time, amen. But amen, see God for these emotions and make sure that they're under what He would have you to have. Fear. Now, one of the things that I dislike about fear is that fear is paralyzing. And the acronym or acrostic, I can't remember which word to use, but the abbreviations of fear is false evidence appearing real. And so we have to be mindful. And so there was a time that I was extremely scared of the dark. And I mean, those were seeds that were planted when I was very, very young. And they grew until I was well into my 40s before I was, I mean, really able to be in a room in the dark by myself, well, tonight by myself with people too. But I was afraid. And then when I had to really seek God and ask to take that away from me, I don't want to be afraid or fearful of anything. And so even with, you know, we sometimes associate it with movies and being in the dark and danger. But fear can be anything can come upon you. The fear of me dying from cancer, or them not being able to remove it, or that I'll have complications from the surgery when they remove it. All of those are unnecessary fears, because if I believe what God says, I will have scriptures that will counteract the fear, because God said that He didn't give us the spirit of fear. He did allow us to have the emotion. But praise God, He didn't allow us to be overcome or have the spirit that goes with it. Amen. So if you do have fear, the other one is loneliness. You know, there are times that we feel like we are alone. In a room full of people, you can feel like you're alone. And so many times we have to remember not to stay in that state of being, because the enemy will really ride you in that nobody ever understands. You're always by yourself. Those are lies from hell, because all you have to do is open your mouth. And that's one of the things that He prevents for us to even be able to combat loneliness, because we're so busy hiding and keeping it to ourselves. I mean, I'm at a point now where I don't hide anything, and people laugh at me because I'm very transparent. I mean, it doesn't matter. If I know that I'm going to get help, I'm not going to allow the devil to paralyze me in fear and make me believe I'm the only one on the planet going through what I'm going through. I know that's a lie. And so I have to speak out. And when I do, the loneliness disappears. Sometimes I still feel like I'm misunderstood, but call it what it is. It's not loneliness. Like the enemy will repeat it to me. You're lonely. Nobody else. No. That's a lie. You're not lonely. Amen. Speak up. And even if you are by yourself, praise God, strangers are there for a reason. They don't have to be strangers. Introduce you to somebody. I promise you, you can relate some type of story that you don't have to feel lonely. another negative emotion, but it's there, is jealousy. The Bible talks about that we should not covet. And that's another word for jealousy on anybody's anything. Yes, we can be happy for people and, you know, like, well, okay, when will it be my turn? Amen. Okay, they got a brand new car. They got a brand new house. Okay, when is it my turn? But don't be jealous. Praise God. If you're happy for them, your blessing is coming. You just have to be patient or work some things out. Go back to that scripture, renew your mind so that you can be in the right standing to do whatever it is that God's called you to do so that you don't have to be jealous of other people. You want to always be happy for someone else's success, or people that have a little bit more, or a little wealthier, or a little healthier, whatever the situation may be, ask, what did you do to get that? And if you can be so caught up and bound by fear, then praise God, this will be the next door, that's the next step at the door, because they go together. You don't want that. You want to be removed from that, so you got to operate in that. Disgust is another emotion that you got to make sure that you renew your mind from. You know, to some degree, some disgust can be okay, like we're talking about. Because it disgusts me how many people don't take advantage of helping people. I mean, it's easy. It's easy to just help someone. We don't need a crusade. We don't need people to tell us to take some of them closets, those sheets and blankets that are falling off the shelf in your closet. Don't take them to the Goodwill, although the Goodwill is a great place. Take it to the people that you know will actually wear them right now, this moment. You know, when you go to the Goodwill, they have to buy that stuff. There are people that need, there are shelters that need things, but they won't charge the people to have them. So be mindful when you're giving things away. It's a good thing to give to Goodwill. I'm not knocking Goodwill, but I'm saying give it to people that are that need it immediately in the moment. Amen. And then the last two is surprise and trust. And, of course, we want to always be surprised. Not always, but it's a nice thing to surprise people. To give people things to make them feel excited, to help them to feel wanted, feel needed. You know, that eliminates lonely altogether. Surprise someone. And last but not least, excuse me, is trust. You want to make sure, first and foremost, that you put your trust in God. And sadly, we say this, the only person I trust is God. You got to be trustworthy in order to trust other people. You have to be trustworthy. And so many times we allow this emotion to kind of lose sight because when you lie and you cheat, people can't trust you. And so you got to be mindful. If you want to trust others, you're going to have to be trustworthy. So you got to make sure you do your part. And it goes hand in hand, things of God. If you love and trust, then praise God. To me, love conquers all of the things that we talked about. Trust, surprise, disgust, jealousy, loneliness, fear, anticipation, anger, sadness, and happiness. And now all of these are just 10 emotions that they call are universal emotions. But they all have meaning and they all are relevant when we talk about being okay and feeling not okay. But you don't want to be in any of these states unless it's a state that God can show himself real and live to you. And so it wasn't many of those. Now, the one thing that I wanted to leave with you is hope. And so hope I first was introduced by Charles Stanley, and then the S on the end, I was introduced my girlfriend, Jennifer, I call her Bishop, but James, and she put the S on for this acronym. I'm going to say hungry, angry, lonely, tired, or scared. And those are the acronyms that the enemy can use you at most. When you're hungry, of course, you know, some of us, you know, have our little ways and our little moods when we get a little hungry. And then angry, of course, we know what comes from that. Lonely, again, what comes from that. Tired, what comes from that. And then scared. You do not want the enemy for you to be in one of those states because the enemy will use that to use you to hurt others. And so we always want to make sure that we're doing things that will cause people to be in right standings with God. And so usually that happens by us being in the right standing of God. And so it is okay to feel not okay, but it's not okay to be not okay. Did I say that right? Let me say that right, based on the title, to make sure that we get it together. The title was, it's okay, well, according to her, it's okay to not be okay, but that's not right. It's okay to not feel okay, but it is more important that we always feel what we feel in the things of God. We always want to make sure that we're encouraged. We want to always make sure that we're learning something. And then when we learn something, that we can empower ourselves to make that necessary change and then praise God to share it with someone else. We never want to stay in a state of being sad, stay in a state of anger, stay in a state of anticipation where we're always anticipating something, or being fearful, or being lonely, being jealous, or being disgusted. We always want to be in a state of love and be in a state where we can always share that love with others. And so there are times that you may feel on edge. Call somebody. Telling a friend today when she said, you know, things are just going on. I said, you know, I feel that way sometimes too. But what I normally do when I get in one of those funks is I'll go somewhere by myself. And I don't put on sad music. Some people can do the sad music. I have to put on the music that I put on when I open this broadcast and close the broadcast. Something upbeat, something to get my body jumping. And so I can have a praise on my lips. And then my praise changes my circumstances because it makes me think different. Then I come to the word. And then when I come to the word, then I can pray the word that I've read. And praise God, my situation has changed. And then I realize I really am okay. And so you got to make sure that you know without a shadow of a doubt, as long as God is with you, he will never leave you nor forsake you, you're going to be okay. You may not want to hear all this stuff at times, but you're going to be okay. It is okay. And if you need to reach out, you can always reach out to me. I'm on Facebook, praise God. Those of you that know my phone number, you can call me or text me. And my email is always open. It's my name, LeahDKilling@gmail.com. You can always reach out to me. And like I said, my name, full name on Facebook, you can reach out to me, or you can go Empowered to Change, Empowered to Change on Facebook as well. But I'm out of time. I know I'm not out of talk, but I am out of time. And I always promised my granny to play some of her songs. And I didn't realize until recently that other people like hearing the song too. So I have to make sure that I give time before the broadcast ends so that they can hear the song, that every praise belongs to God, because it does. And I know she's my number one listener, and I know that I have, you know, my sisters and my nieces that are always listening to support me, and my girlfriends and everybody that listens. You know, I want to make sure that we always give everybody a shout-out. But praise God, I always close the broadcast with her favorite song because it motivates her and keeps her moving. And she's 94. She'll be 95 in a couple months. Can you believe that? I'm so excited that God will bless her to see that, and I will be there to see it with her. So, again, this is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change Block Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And we want you to make sure that you always, always, always start your day with prayer, pray throughout your day, and end your day with prayer. God bless.
Let me hear the words of God.
Take it up and give praise.
It's to our God.
worthy of the praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise for God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.